Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Zvachim Daf Pei. We begin right after the Mishnah here on Pei Amud Aleph. It's about 14, 15 lines off the top of the Amud. But let's before we begin, let's just do a quick recap of the Mishnah, which contained basically three scenarios of mix-ups. Between two types of dam, two types of bloods of karbonis. In the first, we have a mix-up between dam tamimim and dam bali mumin, the dam of a wholesome, unblemished, kosher karbon, mixed up with the blood of a karbon which had been discovered to be blemished, unsuitable for, hakrava. So in that case, Rabbi Eliezer says, if you happen to have gotten one out of the way, if the kohen happened to take one container and put it on the mizbeach, he shouldn't have, but if he did, let's hope for the best. Let's assume the one that's out of the way is the problematic one, which now allows us to proceed with the rest as usual. Chacham say, no, even if there's only one left over, he did everything except for one container, where the chances are pretty much in your favor that this one is okay, because what are the chances that this one happens to be the problematic one of all, right? No, you pour it into the amma, into the drain system. You don't take any chances. So that was the first machlekes, a mix between dam tamimim and dam bali mumin. In the second mix, we have dam of chatas, which is meant to be applied on the upper portion of the mizbeach's wall, versus dam oila, which is meant to be downstairs. So again, you have this mix. What do we do? You sort of pulled in both directions. I can't go up because of the oila. I can't go down because of the chatas. According to the Chachamim, you pour it into the amma, it's lost. Rav Eliezer says, no, we'll just ignore. We'll do lamala. We'll put the whole mix upstairs, and we'll treat the other blood as though it's just the one that doesn't belong there. Yeah, it's just mayim. It's water. It's not really intended. It's not really, meant to be part of this process. And then you go down and you put the rest downstairs. This way you've covered, you've accommodated the chatas, which belongs upstairs, the oila, which belongs downstairs, and you're good. Chacham don't hold this water factor. They're both blood of a carbon. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to manipulate and relocate and change, directions in order to accommodate an uncertainty. In a third, we have a mix between bloods which are all meant to go downstairs, but this one is meant to have one application. This one, two, which really becomes four, right? Two opposite corners, which spread into four walls. What do we do now? Rabbi Eliezer says, just keep on going. And the extra, the leftover, whatever doesn't belong anywhere is just water. So if it's one and four, just do four. And the one that's only meant to have one, okay, so even though it's being spread around unnecessarily, it's water, as far as I'm concerned. Kontra Beshua, you do just one, you don't take your chances of increasing and running into the issue of Baal Tosif. Rather, you just lay low, you do one, and in any case, you're a Yaitse, Rashi explains, because even if an oiler requires more than one application, but ultimately if he does one, it passes, it works. So that's the preferred approach. Okay, so we have three cases, one and four, upstairs, downstairs, tam and balmum. Where Rabbi Eliezer says, if one gets out of the way, you can be makir of the rest. Rabbi Eliezer, comes Rabbi Eliezer with an explanation on Rabbi Eliezer the Tana. This is similar to the story of the animal parts, tam and balmum, that got mixed up the other day, right? So the same idea over here. When do we allow him to proceed and be makrav the rest of the blood, despite a chance of encountering balmum blood? That's only if he does two at a time, two containers at a time. So you know with certainty that some element of his involvement is okay, because remember, there was only one problematic container mixed into this whole group of containers. So if he's dealing with two at a time, you know that within his involvement, within his current activity, there's something certainly okay, one or the other. So then we can safely assume the whole activity, the whole masa akrova is okay. We'll just hope for the best, and we'll assume that the problematic one is out of the way. But to do it one at a time, where there is a real uncertainty, there's a real chance it might be encountering the problematic one. No, even Rabbi Elazar doesn't allow that. Let me explain that really min haTorah, the whole thing is really bottled. There's not, you know, there's a pasuk which says that when it comes to blemished issues, if it's within a mix, within a tarubis, it's okay, but the Rabbanon don't allow it for concern that it might lead to further lenience. So we can't just go outright and, but if one is out of the way, then you can proceed, provided you're doing it at a pair at a time, which adds another layer of leniency, another factor in your favor. But if it's just one at a time, it's not allowed. Masiv Rav Dimi, I have a question. Who's the opposing shita? The Chacham. They say, in order to highlight their position, they say, well, guess what? Even if all of them are out of the way, the Kohen decided to offer everything except for one. There's only one left behind. Very slight chance that this is the problematic one. Still, you got to pour it out. Apparently, we're speaking, there's only one left. And even in that case, Rabbi Elazar allows. Apparently, even if it's just one, you can go. And you tell him you need a pair? Even if all these containers of blood were placed on the Mizbech, kulam, chutz me'echad, except for one. Chutz me'echad, man, you should have let me pour into the drain. Apparently, we're speaking even regarding offering one. And Rabbi Elazar allows it. Amalei Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov responded to who? Rabbi Yirmiyah b'Tachlif Asbar. Let me explain to you. When we say the word one, the number one, it doesn't mean one container. It means one pair. We're speaking about pairs all along. Asbar, let me explain to you, my echad, what the number one over here means. Zug echad, one pair. Now, why do we need the same discussion by blood mix-ups, animal part mix-ups? What's the point of repeating the same discussion? And both, Rabbi Elazar says, if one is out of the way, you can safely assume the rest is okay, as long as you do it a pair at a time. Same with the mixed up blood. Why do we have to discuss the same machlekes in both situations? Utzricha, both are needed. Both carry, you know, an element of chiddush. Diyatmar Bahof, we only discuss the case of the animal parts, which of course is speaking after their respective bloods had been offered properly. So the atonement, which is generated by the blood application, had already been accomplished properly. Now you have just leftovers, you have the animal parts. Perhaps over there, Rabbi Elazar is more lenient. The Itmar Bahav, we only discussed the machlekes over there. Bahav kam Rabbi Elazar, I would assume it's only by the animal parts that Rabbi Elazar says you can proceed, put it all in the mizbeach, and we'll view the problematic parts merely as firewood for the rest, as fuel material. Mishum, you know why Mishum is avid be kaparosa? Because the kapara, which is generated by the application of the dam, has already been accomplished. So you can just, view the problematic material as firewood. Aval baha imi moidu leilu rabbanon. But in our Mishnah, we were speaking about an issue of offering blood, which is meant to generate kapara. Aval baha imi moidu leilu rabbanon. Perhaps Rabbi Elazar agrees to the Rabbanon, if you're dealing with generating atonement, it has to be done properly. You can't just, deem this water and mix it. You can't do that. Kapara can only be done properly without any, confusion and mix-ups. Okay, V'itma Baha, on the other hand, had we only discussed the case of the blood mix-up, I would say, yeah, over here, because of its severity, because we're dealing with kapara issues, Baha kam Rabbanu, over here the Rabbanu say, back off. Aval Baha. But in the earlier case of the animal part mix-ups, which is not so consequential, Eima moidu l'Rabbi Eliezer, perhaps they would agree to Rabbi Eliezer, you can proceed, put it on the Mizbech, and whatever is problematic is firewood. Tzricha, that's why we discuss both cases. And in both situations, whether it's an animal part mix-up, or whether it's blood mix-ups, we have the same exact machlekes. Rabbi Eliezer says, put it all up there. As long as one got out of the way, we can, hope and pray that was the problematic one, the rest is okay. You can proceed and we'll view any problematic element as though it's just firewood, that's by the animal parts, as though it's merely water, that's by the blood. In both cases, Chacham say back off. Okay, Tanan Hassan. Now we have a Mishnah Maseches Para regarding a totally different topic, also pertaining to mix-ups, and somehow it's going to tie back into our discussion. We have a tzloiches, a container, containing mei chatos, chatos water, meaning paraduma water, meant to be sprinkled on an impure person. It's meant to be pure spring water without any mixes of rainwater or, you know, shenaflu l'soicha mayim kolshu, a drop of unqualified water, uncertified water, drops into this container. How do we proceed? Next time you have to sprinkle the water, just do a double sprinkle, once and again, to cover any possibility that you may have encountered the problematic water. So once you do it twice, you certainly, you cover it. According to Chachamim, it's totally disqualified. You can't use it at all. Why? Rabbanon hold, look. When two liquids have fallen into each other, the assumption is that it's properly mixed. So both elements are fully permeating the entire mix. There's an equal, even distribution throughout the entire mix. And every single droplet contains elements of both liquids within it. We assume it's a proper mix. And therefore, when you spray on the tamei, the assumption is you're involving some problematic water in your spray, in your sprinkle. And the fact that you have part of it okay is not enough. There's a minimum shear for hazor. Okay, so whatever is considered a proper sprinkle, that's what's needed. And it needs to be fully kosher water without any foreign elements in it, which you have in this case. And doing twice won't help you, because you can't combine a partial hazor with another partial hazor. V'ein mitzdar from the hazor. So according to them, we understand why this entire mix is disqualified. You can't use it. There's a shi'ur for hazor, and that shi'ur has to be fully kosher water. Okay, so that's good. Elo Rebbe Elazar, my kasava. However, Rebbe Elazar says that one spray wouldn't be sufficient, but two works. How does that work? My kasava, what does he hold? Ikasava ain't bila. He holds that whenever we have two liquids mixed with each other, you can't necessarily assume that there's an even distribution, and every single drop contains, you know, a particle of both. You can't assume. Okay, so then what gain do you have by doing twice? For all you know, both hazois contained water that's possible. Right? Could be by luck, your hazo contained only that water, because ain't bila, who says it's properly mixed? Perhaps both attempts involve just plain mundane water, non-kosher water. Kamazi, his sprinkling. Apparently he holds Yishbil. We assume it's properly mixed. So the kosher water permeates the entire mix. Now, when I do the Hazor, sure, there could be non-kosher water, but we assume there's also kosher water in there as well, so it works. So then the question is, why do you have to do twice? As long as part of the hazor was okay, let's assume it's ikasavar ein hazor tzrichashir. If he holds that there's no minimum amount per hazor, so and even a droplet works. You don't need, you know, the standard conventional amount of water, which is typically sprayed during a, you know, proper spray. Even a drop works. Lom lishtei hazor. So forget two, just do one. Safely assuming that part of it is kosher, right? Because it's properly mixed. Okay, vikas elakosavar hazor tzrichashir. Apparently, holds there is a minimum requirement of kosher water that must be present in the hazor. And here you'll never know. Yesh bila. We assume in every drop there's good and bad. So in the Azar, you have mixed in bad stuff. So you have to do it twice. But what gain do you have from doing twice? Do you combine a little of this with a little of that? Because Sarva Im Staff and Azar, you can't combine the two acts of Azar. What do you accomplish by doing twice? Ki mazash de azoy is mayavi. Vinamim stavan lazoy. Now, even if you agree that you can combine the two sprinklings to get you one full one, miyemar demolish yura. Who's to say that even between the two attempts, you have arrived, you have reached at the required amount? Okay, a little less, a little of that. Who says you got to the full, let's say, you know, a shear of a hazoy is typically an ounce. Maybe there was only a third of an ounce of kosher water in each attempt, which gets you only two-thirds. Amrish Lakash. So you have three ways to explain Rabbi Eliezer. Again, Rabbi Eliezer says you have this mix of kosher and non-kosher water. Just do it twice and you're good. How does that work? We have Rish Lakash, Rav and Ravash. Amrish Lakash. Loilam Yeshbila. Rabbi Eliezer holds Yeshbila. There's a proper mix. Vazot Tzricha Shir. Although each Hazor requires a proper shear of kosher water, but he holds. Umitzdar from Hazois, you have to add that to the Gemara. You can combine. You could join together part of this Hazor with the part of the other one. But how do you know you got to the full ounce? The answer is, Vacha b'mayaskin was speaking that you know that initially only a grand total of just 1 ounce of non-kosher water dropped into this mix. So, as soon as you do two hazois, each one containing an ounce, you do a total of 2 ounces, you know for sure, at most, at worst, the full ounce of non-kosher was present within these two attempts. But just an ounce. You did 2 ounces, an ounce and an ounce. So you know for sure, in total, in combination, you have at least 1 ounce of kosher water, and that's what makes it okay. My skin was speaking, only 1 ounce of the non-kosher dropped into the ounce of kosher. Or even more than 1 ounce of kosher. The main point is that you know the non-kosher only contained one portion, 1 ounce. So by doing it twice, you're covered. Rava Amar, Loilam Yeshbila. Rava continues on this track. Rava Leza holds Yeshbila is a proper mix. But he holds Vazo ain't Tzricha Shir. He disagrees on this point. He says there is no Shir of Vazo. Even a drop would work. Okay, so then just do one spray, assuming that part of it is okay. That should be enough. Why do you have to do twice? There's a penalty. We penalize him. You know, Paraduma water was very precious, very hard to find. So, Uknos, the Kansu Rabban, Chacham wanted to make a Knas to this way discourage people from allowing these mixes to take place to increase their water, their Paraduma water. So he doesn't have any gain from this mix. So do it again, just to penalize him. To remove any incentive, any temptation. Ravashi Amar, he has a different approach. He says, Ein Bila. No, I'm going to veer off. You hold Yesh Bila? No, Kontra Blaza, Ein Bila. You never know if there's a proper mix here or not. It could be there's a pocket of non-kosher within this mix. Who says it's properly permeated? And Rashi changes the gerson, the Gemara. He says, Rashi Omar kol shutanan. You know, you're assuming there's a lot of non-kosher, an ounce. You know, no. The Mishnah is speaking about, look back to the case of the Mishnah. It says, how much rainwater drop? Kol shu. It's a minute amount of drop. Okay, that's the first point. Next, he says, I hold that really there isn't a proper mix. We don't know if it's properly mixed. And therefore, it's enough to do two sprinklings. Because since the non-kosher is only a drop, if he does two azois, each one is a drop, you covered yourself. Because even if one hazor contained just completely non-kosher water, the second one is okay. And that's why you have to do two. Ein bila. In which case, you don't know. Maybe the non-kosher is standing alone. So the first Hazor is just non-kosher. Right? Who says it's properly mixed? So you do another one. A small, mini Hazor. It's no shir. That's what you cover. You certainly encountered, within one of these two attempts, you've encountered kosher water. So in reality, he holds like Rava to a certain extent that there's no shiur requirement for Hazor. Even a drop would work. But he disagrees with the Knas. He says, no, we wouldn't penalize him. We would just let it pass. The only reason why, in fact, it is a problem. The only reason why he has to do it twice, because Ein Bila. Which basically presents an issue, because then there's a concern that perhaps the first spray was completely containing non-kosher material. That's why we require two. Okay, so we have Rish Lakish and Rava, both of the opinion that according to Rabbi Elazar, Yesh Bila. Rava explains the reason for repetition is the Knas. And Ravashi holds Ein Bila. Meisvei, here comes a kasha on Rish Lakish, who had said Yesh Bila, Hazor needs a shiur, right? You need a shiur, and that's why you have to do two to combine the two halves. Look at the next price. Rabbi Danasi explains. Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is Hazor kol shel mataris, Hazor ain't zrich a shiur, Hazor mechtz kosher mechtz pasul. It's the opposite. The Blazo allows us to pass with merely two Hazois. He says, Hazov. Kosher works. You don't need a shear. Right? And even within this sprinkling, mechza kosher, mechza, half is okay, half is not. It still passes. Right? So clearly, it's unlike Rish Lakish, who says, Hazor needs a shear. Now, the obvious question is, if even a drop works, and even a partial Hazor works, so why do you have to do it twice? So the answer is because of the knas. Like the rubber. To discourage him from, you know, adding this water. This way you have no gain. In any case, Akash and Rish Lakish, who says that it needs a shear. Next question. Voitani, now comes Akash and Ravashi, which is pretty much going to occupy us for the next little bit over here. Ravashi was the one who said that Rav Elazar's opinion is based on Ein Bila. When two liquids mix with each other, you can't safely assume that's properly distributed, equally permeating the entire mix. You don't know where's what and what's where. Okay, so now we're sort of going to veer away from the Paraduma water. We're going to go back to our Mishnah. That's how it, you know, ties into our Sugya. Vaitanya. Behedya. So we have the case in the Mishnah, right? Case two. Upper bloods and lower bloods. Bloods have a chatas, which is meant to go upstairs on the Mizbeach, was this arev with oila blood, which is meant to be applied on the lower portion of that wall. And this is actually a tesefta, which elaborates on the case of the Mishnah. It goes into more detail in presenting Rabbi Elazar's shita that you should proceed, Chacham Musay hold back. Again, what are we trying to accomplish? What are we trying to clarify? A general question. When two liquids mix, do we say Yesh Bila or Ein Bila? Ravashi said Ein Bila, according to Rabbi Elazar. I'm going to try to prove otherwise. According to Rabbi Elazar, you have to say Yesh Bila. You have to assume liquids permeate each other. So again, in Tanu Lamal, since Arva and Tanu Lamata, you have the Chatas, which is meant to go up, mixed with the Oilo, which is meant to go down. So again, the Chatas really has two steps to the blood application. Primarily, it's going upstairs on that same wall. And the leftover, the shiraim, is poured downstairs. The Ayla, blood, however, starts and ends downstairs. What do we do now? We're stuck. Can't go up. Can't go down. Ayla is meant to stay down. The Chatas is meant to start off on top. What do we do? Rav Lezo Yimar, no problem. Go straight up. Do what you have to do and come back down. The rest of the water, the rest of the blood, which doesn't belong upstairs, water, right? Yitin lamalo. Start upstairs to accommodate the chatas, and then when you go downstairs, you've accommodated the oil, which is meant to go downstairs. Now this only works if we say yesh bila, if it's a proper mix. So we assume that when you place this mix upstairs, you've applied at least partially chatas upstairs. When you place it downstairs, it's partially oil, so you're covered. However, v'yamra zayim bila, if you don't subscribe to bila, there's always a chance that in this mix you have a pocket of Ayla blood standing on the side and then Chatas blood on the other side. And how do you know where you placed which blood? Maybe, as luck would have it, you reversed it. Perhaps you put the Ayla blood upstairs and the Chatas blood downstairs. The Yarmah says, Ein Bila, how did you cover your ground? Duma, perhaps, Koyoiv El Yainim, perhaps he placed the Chatas blood downstairs, Lamata. But the Ayla blood, which is meant downstairs, Lamata, put it upstairs. My skin, the answer is like that. We're speaking about a unique case where the percentages work. How? In this mix, you have the majority is chatas. For instance, 52% versus 48. And when he placed blood upstairs, he made sure to put 51%. So the 51% amount exceeds the amount of oil blood that was in here. It was only 48%. He knows with certainty that he applied chatas blood upstairs. Within this 51%, certainly there's chatas blood. Shir tachtoni v'oid, he put the quantity corresponding to the oila plus a little bit more. Ask the Gemara, ha-tachtonim oila loy katoni. But then, there's a chance that perhaps the entire oila, 48%, was placed upstairs. So how could the Brisa continue and tell us that when he goes downstairs and he applies more, he has accommodated the oila. The oila is gone, perhaps. Bryce seems to say that he's going to be accommodating the Eila at phase 2, but it's gone, perhaps. L'shem Shiraim, you're right. The rest just means that when he proceeds and places the rest of the mix downstairs, it's just going to count as phase 2 for the Chatas, the leftovers of the Chatas, because it's still that 1%. Chatas encompassed 52%. He only put 51% of the mix upstairs. He certainly has at least one more percent of Chatas blood. So when he puts the rest downstairs, the Chatas certainly had a part up and part down. But you're right, the oil of blood could be it's gone. Could be it was expended within that 51% placed upstairs. Toshmai comes another question with the same answer basically. Let's say the Kohen proceeded without asking. He put the entire, applied blood downstairs without asking. Not to worry. Start again. Go back upstairs, put the mix upstairs, and now you cover the chatas upstairs, and the blood placed downstairs counts for the oil. Same question. How do you know? How do you know what happened? Perhaps he mixed it all up, right? Perhaps the oil came down upstairs and the chatas downstairs. Same answer as before. The proportions worked. We're speaking again that this mix contained 52% of the chatas material. And when he placed blood upstairs, it was an amount that exceeded the amount of oil of blood that was there, let's say 51%, which is way more than the oil of blood, which is only 48%. So you know for sure that there's some chatas element upstairs. So you're yaitse the chatas. What do you mean? But how could you be yaitse the oil now? But the Brisa seems to say that you've accommodated the oil as well. How do you know? Maybe the entire oila was upstairs. L'shem Shirayim. Price doesn't mean the oila was accomplished. It just means that when he placed the blood downstairs, and it comes back and places the rest downstairs, he has now fulfilled phase two of the chatas. The leftovers poured on the bottom. So the chatas is covered. The oila is problematic, is unknown. Toshmai comes another raya. Let's say he started on top without asking. Okay, so again he had chatas and oila blood mixed together. He applied some of that mix upstairs. Both Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham agreed that in this case, since he didn't consult with us, he just proceeded. Okay, let's hope for the best. Then, in fact, there was some chatas blood placed upstairs, and now he comes back downstairs. And he has fulfilled both the chatas requirement and the oila requirement. The same question. How do you know? Maybe he reversed. Maybe the oila went upstairs and the chatas downstairs. If you hold ein bila, the answer is achanam here as well. Like we said before, percentages work out. Brubel yoinim. The majority of this mix was a chatas. And he placed enough upstairs to ensure that there was chatas upstairs. Okay, so that explains why he has fulfilled the chatas requirements. But the Brisa seems to say that by placing some blood downstairs as well, he's going to be accommodating the oila, which according to you is non-existent. Brisa says, elu ve'elu alulay, which means to say that both bloods have been properly processed, meaning the chatas and the oila are okay. The answer is like this. According to Rabbi Elazar, ein bila, only the chatas works. When the Braisa said the oila works as well, that's Rabbanan. Rabbanan who say yesh bila. Miktani elu ve'elu moedim. At this last piece of the Braisa, does it then refer to both opinions? That they both agree? No. Rabbi Elazar doesn't agree that he has accomplished anything regarding the oila. Elu ve'elu elu le'ketani. The Braisa merely makes reference to both kabanas. Elu ve'elu, the chatas and oila both work, but only with respect to the opinion of the Rabbanan, who say we assume it's a proper mix and everything goes everywhere and everything has been properly accommodated. Elu ve'elu le'ketani, save us on the Rabbanan, dam yesh bila. In fact, this last statement, which seems to teach that both the chatas and the oila have been properly executed, that's according to the Rabbanan, who say yesh bila. When we have two elements within a mix, we assume there's a proper even distribution throughout. And by placing some upstairs and some downstairs, he has accommodated and properly processed the oila and the chatas. But according to Rabbi Elazar, perhaps ain't bila. Toshmai comes another attempt at disproving that point. Let's go on to the next case in our mission. Dam of a bechor, which will be placed just once on the mizbeach, one matana, mixed with the dam of the oila, which requires four. What do we do? Toshmai netana matana achas, blood from a bechor, which needs one application, shenis arid got mixed in benetana matana achas with other bechor blood that needs only one. Okay, you're good. Netana matana achas, just do one application on the mix. And the question is, v'amris ein bila. But if it isn't presumed to be a proper mix, when he does this one application, who's to say that he covered both carbonates? Maybe only, as luck would have it, when he only applied material of carbon A, not of carbon B. V'yamras ein bila amayi nosnu matanachas. How could you just suffice with one application? Dilma mehai koyoy, perhaps. As chance would have it, perhaps he only applied blood of bechor A. Umahai loy koyoy. And not. He didn't apply blood of bechor B. The answer is conscience. Arvo achas ba'achas. We're not speaking about a big bucket of blood here. Where you can argue and say, well, if you applied, you know, so much, maybe you didn't chance into the blood of the other bechor. No, we're speaking about a very small amount. An ounce and an ounce. And you apply the entire thing. So you know you covered both karbanis. The same thing with the next story in the Mishnah. Oila with oila, which require four. Okay, so you have 4 ounces and 4 ounces mixed together. You just apply it all four to the four corners and you're done. And that confirms that both bloods were applied to the Mizbeach. Matan Arba. Achinami, right? So that's the question. How do you know? Maybe you, same thing. Achinami Shin is Arba, Abra Ba Arba. 4 ounces and 4 ounces. And when you apply them to the four corners, entirely. You depleted the entire supply. You know both karbanas' blood is on the mizbeach. Nothing left in your container. What about the next case? 4 and 1. Matan arba, matan achas. The case of the oil blood, which needs 4 applications, or the bechor blood, which needs only 1. Same question could be posed. You go apply to the mizbeach. You do 4 applications. Who's to say? Maybe you never encountered the blood of the bechor. Maybe that was left behind. Well, you'll say the same thing. Right? The same answer as before. Perhaps over here as well you'll say b'nes arba arba ba'achas. We're not speaking about applying part of a big mix and leaving some behind where you can speculate that perhaps the blood of one carbon was left behind the container. No, you have a very small amount and you can apply the entire thing. Arba ba'achas. 4 ounces of the oil with 1 ounce of the bechor. And you'll put it around the mizbech. You know, it's all taken care of. So that's the case. You only have a small amount of bechor, 1 ounce of his blood mixed in, and you can apply it together, and you know it's taken care of. Yach, if that's the case, what's the issue in the Mishnah with adding, increasing application? Amar Rabbi Shor says to Rabbi Elazar, how could you allow this? What do you mean? A bechor only needs 1 application, and you're applying him 4 times. You're not applying him 4 times. Only 1 ounce there for 1 corner. By applying this mix 4 times, right? 4 corners, you're adding to the bechor. You're adding applications to the element of bechor blood within this mix. So you're not. Here, in this type of case, where you only have an ounce of bechor material, which at most suffices for 1 corner, how do you get the bal toisiv? You didn't increase any applications. So that sort of throws us off. Right? So again, if we're speaking about actual bloods that are mixed together as one in one container, it would be inconsistent with the way the Mishnah is describing the scenario. Hela marava bebalale pligi. Our whole assumption, our whole kasha, our series of kashas on Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was the one who said that according to Rav Elazar, ain bila. All these questions from these various mixes were based on a mistaken notion, says Rav. We thought there was an actual material mix between bloods in a container. No! Bebodo leplik, there's no discussion in our Mishnah regarding actual bloods mixed together. Leplikki, ki pligi bekoises. Rather, we're speaking about containers. Container of the chatas. Container containing oila, which are now misidentified. The mix occurred in our brain, in our mind. They're not physically mixed together. So it doesn't relate to the whole question of b'yesh bila, ein bila, which only relates to actual mixes of material, of liquids. They're separate. Totally separate. So what's the machlekes in the Mishnah? Rulezer says, proceed. Do what you have to do to accommodate, you know, your karbanis. And Rabbanon don't allow it. What's the machleg? Rablezer islay royin. Rablezer applies the royin concept. View the extra as though it's water. Take your chances. Rabbanon less lo royin. Rabbanon say no. You have chatas which goes upstairs, oila downstairs. You can't just play. You can't just put the whole mix upstairs. Well, the leftover is water. You can't do that. Okay, so that sort of solves our dilemma. Okay, so regarding the question of bila, we had a machlekes. Some hold that contra blazer yeish bila. Rav Ashi says ein bila, but it doesn't really relate to our Mishnah, which is not speaking about actual mixes, rather separate containers. Really, ubebalule pligi. There's no machlekes in the Mishnah regarding actual bloods mixed. Vatani, we have a brisa, where Rav Yehuda actually presents their machlekes, their discussion relating to mixes, actual mixes. Vatani, Rav Yehuda. So he has a different take on the whole discussion. He says, look, you know, although in our Mishnah we learned that if there's a mix between blood of a tam and blood of balmum, or blood of a chatos, blood of an oila, you can't take your chances. You can't just put things anywhere. According to Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Elazar, you could. He has a different approach, a different twist. He says, if the question is chatas and oila blood, just keep on going. take the whole, you know, supply, start upstairs, go downstairs. The oil of blood upstairs, not a problem. It's water. Even Chacham agree that if it's basically kosher material, it's a proper carbon. Okay, placement is not crucial, just view it as water. Shikarev. On the other hand, on the other side of the spectrum, we have totally disqualified material. But if you have a nirva, blood of an animal that interacted with humans, which disqualifies the carbon, it's a puzzle. All agree that material is off limits. Shlo yikarev. If you got mixed in with that, drain time. The dispute only relates to a very specific case. We have blood of a unblemished kosher carbon mixed in with blood of a blemished carbon. Not as bad as Rav and Irva, right? So this mix, what do we do? He says, keep on going. We actually explained, you know, based on a pasuk, that when it's a question of material of a blemished animal, the pasuk says only when it's on its own is it a problem, but if it's mixed, if it's undiscernible, you can keep on going. That's Rav Blaz's sheet. So take the whole mix and keep on going. Oh, here's a punchline. Bein bebalu. What kind of mix? Bein bebalu, bein bekoisis. Whether it's an actual physical mix between the liquids, bein bekoisis, or containers that are now unidentifiable. So clearly, contra Yehuda, Rav Blaz allows, even when it's an actual mix. No, lo yikarev, you can't proceed because of the problematic blemished element within this. Okay, but in any case, clearly Rav Yehuda relates to actual physical, you know, liquid mix. Unlike what we said, says the Gemara, you're right. Rav Yehuda alib with Rav Lezer master ben bal mimikaisis. That's Rav Yehuda's take on the machlekes. According to Rav Yehuda's version of Eliezer, master ben bal mimikaisis. His opinion relates to all kinds of mixes, whether it's merely containers that are not, you know, labeled, or even if the two bloods got mixed into the same case. And the only way we can explain Rav Blaz's shita, as we explained before, that there was a majority of the chatos blood in there, 52%, and he put a nice amount upstairs, which certainly contains chatos material, etc. We explained all along our, you know, discussion. For Rabbanon, because he's pleading, but the Rabbanon's view of things, meaning the other chachamim, other than Rabbi Yehuda's perspective, the other chachamim, meaning our Mishnah's version of the machlekes, which is certainly different than Rabbi Yehuda's version, who says there's no machlekes by chatas and oil got mixed up. All agree you can proceed. Our Mishnah disagrees. Our Mishnah says that machlekes pertains to chatas and oil material as well. That's a totally different perspective on the machlekes. So according to our Mishnah's view, we're speaking strictly about mixed up containers. And only there, Rav Blazer says, you can proceed. Not if it's mixed into the actual container itself, two bloods together. Because then you're running into all kinds of questions of how do you know what's what? Going to Rav Ashi, ain't bila. You can't be sure. You can't be certain there was a proper permeation, a proper distribution, a proper mix. You're running into that whole issue, which isn't consistent with our Mishnah, which seems to learn that there's an issue of Baal Tosif, and as we explained, that wouldn't really work according to the way we attempted to explain. So our Mishnah cannot be speaking about bloods that actually mix together. Okay, so there goes the question. There goes the that solves our hardship. Rav Ashi, who said that according to Eliezer ain't bila, there's no contradiction from our Mishnah, which is not speaking about. I'm just not discussing a bila, an actual liquid mix situation. Okay. So in a nutshell, we basically focused on two areas today. Tarevis of bloods. According to our Mishnah, we have three cases. Tam, Bali Mumin, Chatas, Oila. Blood which needs one application with others that need four applications. What do we do? In all cases, Rabbi Elazar takes a lenient approach. You can proceed, cover all bases, accommodate both karbanis. Now, in terms of the balimum, we said that's only allowed when one got out of the way. You can assume that's the problematic one. However, Yehuda's approach is that when it's oila and chatas, all agree you can proceed. Machlekes is only by tamimim and balimumim. Next point was the question of bilum. So we started with a story of the water falling into the paraduma water. Chacham say pasul, completely pasul. By the way, Tosis points out, why is it pasul? It should be batel b'roiv, just a drop of water. He says it's a chumra midrabanan because of the chumra de mechatas. We're more strict. We safeguard the purity of the mechatas because of its, you know, prominence and chashivas and all kinds of strictnesses that apply to mech. So we keep it to a higher standard. Even a drop disqualified. And that's based on the idea of yesh bila, and even if yesh bila, but hazor needs a shear, and you can't combine two hazor, so each hazor has to be fully kosher, which you don't know in this case, so you can't use it. Rav Leza says, just do it twice, you're good. We had basically three approaches, which really revolved around two main points of whether we say yesh bila or ein bila. And Rav Ashi, who said ein bila, was sort of challenged from the Braisa, which discusses the case of the karbanis mixes, and apparently you can rely on that it's a proper mix. And we concluded, no, we're not speaking about mixes of liquids, rather mixes of kaises. Okay, so bila is not an issue. All the best to you. Atzlacha Rabba, and Surya Stavis.